Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Freeberg is always fantastic when he joins us. We're going to talk to Joe about a local issue and a national issue. Joe is in trial, so he is joining us over his lunch break. So we're going to go fairly quickly here. So let's get to what I said we were going to get to about an hour ago. The three of us ventured over to Target Center. Tibbs is looking to add some to the bench, and you got the trade deadline coming up. He wanted to check us out. No, we are on March 28th against the feisty Atlanta Hawks. We are hosting a suite for WCCO listeners. We are going to start next Tuesday giving out a pair of tickets for six straight weeks to this game. It's a March 28th game against the Hawks in a nice suite. The three of us will be there. You'll be there with a number of other listeners. We're going to have some fun associated with it. We're going to have something on the Facebook page, what, a couple days or so? We'll get that up there. But when we get to it, not now. Not now. You don't need to call now. You don't need to text now. But as we get closer, what we're going to do is we're going to want you to tell us a funny story, something funny about you, something funny about the show, some humor, so you will stand out and you'll win a pair of tickets to watch the Wolves and Hawks in a suite with us and a lot of other good people. So we're looking forward to that. We shot a little video at Target Center. And we're looking to do that. So spread the word on that. We always love when people check out what we put out on Facebook, contributions. We love when you offer up suggestions too. So you always can send an email directly to me if you'd like, chad.hartman@entercom.com. You can send a text here, 81807. Any sort of feedback, we'd love to hear on it. So again, we'll start taking emails and texts soon on something, a funny story, why you should be in the suite with us for free, March 28th, Wolves and Hawks. More details coming. Here's Adam with the news update. Joe Freeberg joins us right now on two important issues, Joe. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Joe. His time is limited because he has a lunch break and the trial he's involved in. Give me your view about what's taking place. Mike Freeman is convening a grand jury. He is reportedly going to bring in at least 30 different police officers who have been subpoenaed, asking them questions in some way related to the death of Justine Damon. What's your view of this move?
Well, first of all, there's two types of grand juries, a presentment grand jury where you ask them to either indict or not indict, and an investigative grand jury, which has the power of subpoena. He can't subpoena people without subpoenaing them to a grand jury. So that's why he's using it as an investigative body. These people have to come in, unless they want to take the Fifth Amendment, and I don't think any of them will, and answer his questions. And what he wants to know is, to what degree was this officer just reacting, or was he using training that he had received? What had he been taught, if anything, about these types of situations, so that he can make his own judgment whether or not he's got a case of culpable negligence? And I think, frankly, he's doing it the right way, because people don't want to talk to him about this. And so the way you make them talk is you put them on, you know, subpoena them to a grand jury and question them under oath, and they'll tell you all about the training, all about the standards, so he can make a considered judgment as to whether he should charge him.
When Bob Kroll, who's the head of the union, says this is an abuse of authority, does that ring true?
No, silly.
What do you think will happen if Knorr's partner is brought up and asked questions. Because Freeman has certainly led hints that he received very little information from
this
individual.
Well, see, this is a way that he can get that man's statement and that man's testimony, and that's probably the only way he can do it. Now, he cannot force Knorr to testify, but he can have the witness testify and tell him everything he can tell him about it, and that'll be the best available witness. It'll help him a lot.
So as you describe these two different types of grand juries and what's going on in this one, when Mike Freeman still says he's going to make the final decision, is he staying true to what he said?
Yes, he absolutely is. And I don't go around supporting Mike. If I think he's wrong, I say
yes.
He's wrong. He found himself really blocked in his investigation, and this is a way to use the grand jury as an investigative tool. One of the reasons the grand jury was created in this state, because we don't use it for presentment very often, and this is an excellent idea where he can get people under oath telling him what he wants to know.
Is there any way to speculate on a timeline on this?
Well, you could, but it wouldn't be very professional. I have, as long as it takes. I mean, it's an important decision,
yes, right.
And I don't have a problem with it being delayed.
Let me ask you about a potential client out there for a number of lawyers. I think his name is Donald Trump. Donald Trump, at some point, is going to face something more formal from Robert Mueller. But the president keeps saying publicly, I want to talk, even behind the scenes saying, I want to talk. And his lawyers are saying, we don't want you to do that.
Well, I'll tell you what, if there's one client in the world that you wouldn't let get sworn under oath and testify, it'd be Donald Trump, because he can't tell the truth and he can't say the same thing twice. So if you're his lawyer, you'd put him in a straitjacket to stop him from going. However, if he's subpoenaed to a grand jury, he's got to go.
Yep.
And I would tell him if I was his lawyer, no way do you answer questions. You take the Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment is there to protect the innocent as well as the guilty. And it's not unpatriotic to take the Fifth Amendment. I would not let that man testify because he will put himself in a hole.
Are we headed for a constitutional crisis in some way?
Yeah, we might. But we were headed for a constitutional crisis when we elected the fool. And I'm not biased.
How does this work, Joe? You've had these battles before when a client wants to do one thing and you're saying don't do it. How does that normally play out?
Well, if the client won't follow my advice, I generally tell him, look, you're paying me for my advice. If you're not going to follow, don't pay me. Go get another lawyer.
Yep.
You look around till you get a lawyer that agrees with you, and then you'll be fine.
Could you see any of these lawyers saying, listen, if you do this, I'm stepping down. You're not following what I'm telling you to do?
Well, John Dowd is a phony criminal defense lawyer. He's never successfully defended anybody. I think Ty Cobb generally defends corporations in difficulty. He doesn't really have a criminal defense lawyer because I think he might consider it somewhat demeaning to hire one. But there's a lot of good criminal defense lawyers out there that if paid them and followed their advice, he would take the Fifth. The only way to get his testimony, if he's given immunity, this really goes down the line. If he's given immunity, then you can't take the Fifth.
Yep.
The problem is you can't get immunity from perjury.
Yeah.
So he probably get in, I want to use a bad word, but he would get in the type of house that he said are in the third world.
Right.
If he goes, he's in trouble.
You think he's going to end up doing it?
Well, I don't know. Can the subpoena force the president of the United States
right.
to appear in front of a grand jury? I can't answer that question, but I believe in the past the presidents have agreed to go.
Should the president be compelled? If you're having the final say, forget this president, but any president, should they be treated the same way as the rest of us?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I have a bias, and I'd like to see this guy there, but if, as far as I'm concerned, if Congress doesn't have the guts to get rid of them, then I don't think that the head of this country should be amenable to a subpoena. I don't like the idea, and I, as much as I despise the man, I don't think the institution can survive this type of thing.
One piece of advice next time when you come on, if you could have more of an opinion. I mean, we'd really appreciate that, because I felt like you were really reluctant to share your views there.
Yeah, I just don't like the President of the United States having to be subpoenaed or to have to answer a subpoena. I think it stands a lot of things on its head, and I don't think it's good for the country, but it's a close call for me.
Yeah. Always love having you on. Thanks for your flexibility today.
Okay. Bye-bye.
He is the best. Joel Freiberg, 17 past one. I want to get to a Sheryl Sandberg note, because I think it's interesting on what Mike Pence said years ago and how many people have debated that when Pence said at the time, and it gets elevated now because he's the vice president. And also considering what happens every day when more and more people are stepping forward about their Me Too movement. The majority of the time telling the truth, there are outliers, and those folks deserve to be heard. And those folks, if it turns out those reports are false and erroneous, that part of the story better be told just as much, okay? But there's no denying that there has been a wave, and I hope most decent people are thankful that this is finally coming out. So Sheryl Sandberg, obviously very powerful and successful, and Facebook and Lean In, the tragedy with the passing of her husband unexpectedly. So she's picking up on what Mike Pence said. In 2002, Mike Pence told The Hill that he never eats alone with a woman other than his wife, and he won't attend events featuring alcohol with her without her by his side. Okay. I still, even with all the information coming out, Lindsay, but all the abuse that's going on, I still differ 100% with Mike Pence. He gets to do it, okay? We then get to react, but no, I do not think now it is at a point when you can't have dinner with a female, or you can't then go to an event where alcohol is served without your significant other.
I am with you 100%. I mean, let's just look at our two situations. Your boss, well, I mean, she's also my boss, but if you were to ever sit down with Shannon,
yeah,
she's a female,
yeah,
she would be the person you'd go have dinner with,
yeah,
to talk work stuff. What does that mean, like, I have to come as your chaperone,
well,
or vice versa?
No, in theory, I'd have to get Carla to come with.
Oh, yeah.
So, right? I mean.
Well, but what if, like, Lindsay Peterson and I sit down?
You'd have to bring John, I guess. Right? You know.
John, what are you doing later this afternoon? Could you come down to work so I can have a meeting with my boss?
Yeah. I mean, do they come down? They just put headphones on? I mean, you know.
Just sits in the corner and, like, plays on his phone like a kid?
Right. And I'm not trying to. Listen, if you listen to us at all, this is not to dismiss in any way sexual harassment. Zero. But I just don't think we have to go back into, I don't know, the Puritan days, okay? Sheryl Sandberg said this. Don't want to have dinner alone with female colleagues? Fine. But make access equal. No dinners alone with anyone. Breakfast or lunch at all. Or group dinners. Only nothing one-on-one. Whatever you choose, treat women and men equally. This is a big problem because undoubtedly it will decrease the opportunities women have at work. The last thing women need right now is even more isolation. Men vastly outnumber women as managers and senior leaders, so when they avoid, ice out, exclude women, we pay the price. People with mentors are more likely to get promotions, yet women are less likely than men to get mentored, and women of color get the least support of all. If we're going to change the power imbalance that enables so much sexual harassment in the first place, we need to ensure women get more mentorship or sponsorship, not less. She nailed it 1,000%, right? The idea of what continues to go on, Lindsay, and no doubt there are going to be white males who at times feel like they've missed out. That's a lot of what Donald Trump hit home on in 2015 and 2016. I am going to be your champion. I find it amusing that a complete elitist from New York was able to reach out to white blue-collar voters and say, I'm your guy. When until he came down the elevator, he hadn't, I don't think he'd spent 4 seconds thinking about those folks. But guess what? He won. So elections have consequences. He won. Okay? When Pence says this and Sandberg comes back, I think it's such a good point. How many parts of work, how many promotions, how many exchanges of information, how many opportunities to meet other people at different companies, how many other ways about structures or new opportunities or working on deals happen away from offices, Lindsay? They do a ton. And so to say, I'm sorry, you can't be with me, because in theory, I'm a man, you woman, I might be attracted with you, is insulting.
It is, and it's you're right. You know, I have a lot of young women who reach out to me for career advice, especially in this line of work. How do you make it? How do you get your foot in the door? And the unfortunate part of most career opportunities is it's who you know. And who you know is not confined to the four walls of your office. It's who you meet mm-hmm. on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. It's who you meet covering an event. It's who you meet, you know, through an internship. And if the whole idea, you know, if we went back and this idea that, you know, a woman is not supposed to be alone with a man who's not her significant other and vice versa, I would never have been able to intern at any of the jobs I've ever had.
Right.
Because I went into media with a sports background.
Right.
And interned at KFAN.
Right.
It's all men.
Yes.
Sometimes you're in a car with them. You're driving to an event.
It's the media is still a male-dominated business. We're seeing it. We're seeing more of it. There are successful people in this town who are showing that they're everybody's good, if not better. But think of how many other industries are like that. Let me pick up on a few more texts here. Chad, Mike Pence's statement, nothing to do with sexual harassment. Very conservative Christians believe they cannot put themselves in this way of temptation. We know that. Okay. If I didn't make that clear enough, that's on me, I guess. Although I thought I made this pretty clear that I wasn't tying Mike Pence to sexual harassment when I again said this was a statement he made in 2002. But when we're talking about all the stories about sexual harassment at work and opportunities being denied, that's when this comes up. How about this text? So if Pence becomes president, would he be able to meet with a female cabinet member in private, or would his wife have to be there?
Right? I think he said no.
Right?
I mean, thought the whole point of this was no. And to go back to that text,
by the way, he was congressman?
Yeah.
Governor? It's absurd.
I know, especially because, you know, from my perspective, I see how many women that I work with who are the PR representatives or staff members for male, you know, politicians.
Yeah.
And if basically it was they're not allowed, well, then what can they do? If females can only work for females and males can only work for males, where do we balance this out?
Yeah. And I mean, okay, maybe Pence doesn't have the strength, the character to resist women. I'm not going to question Pence's character, okay? But what I'll say is, if you're saying you can't be around, then it's almost like you're questioning your own character.
Absolutely.
And your own judgment.
Well, that's what I was saying about the text, that even using the word, well, because they're, you know, conservative Christians, they don't want to be putting themselves in the way of temptation. Being around another human being shouldn't just be temptation. It should just be how you live your life. Like, if Mike Pence went to the grocery store and there was a female running the cashier, is he not going to her because, heaven forbid, he might be tempted as she scans his groceries? I mean, that's the part that's so bizarre to me, is it's now if you're a man and you like women, being around women is automatically right. a temptation and vice versa.
That, I mean, that even goes back to some of the insulting comments when someone finds out that a male is gay and that he might be around other men or other children to say, well, how is he going to stop? That's pedophilia. That has nothing to do with who you're attracted to as a fellow adult. I mean, it gets into these dangerous trickle-down parts that is just insulting.
Chad, I just realized we're in the room alone together.
Yeah,
Adam.
Yeah,
Adam. If you could come back.
Yeah. Speaking of moral character, let's get Adam to come down the hall. We'll talk SpaceX about an hour from now. Joe Freeburg on earlier this hour. Jason DeRussia in the 12 o'clock hour. You can always podcast the show. We greatly appreciate that. WCCO.com/Chad. So the news came out last week in Nashville about the mayor, who at the time had very high favorable numbers, Megan Berry, that she had been having an affair with a member of a police officer's member for security detail. She became mayor in 2015. In a brief interview Sunday night, and part of what other things she's had to say, she said, I'm embarrassed, I'm sad, I'm so sorry for all the pain that I've caused my family and his family. When she was asked about rumors that she might resign, she said no three times. You do have other questions, including the finances, that the mayor took trips with the man who was a part of the security detail, who she was having the affair with, raised the possibility of financial costs. You have Tennessee newspapers citing public records, reported the pair took some trips in the company of other city officials, right? So that's going to be a part of it. But the nine trips, including one to Athens, Greece, were taken by Barry and the police officer alone. So the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, at the request of the Attorney General, is looking into whether the mayor or the police officer broke any laws misusing public funds. You also have the Tennessean reporting that the mayor had recommended the police officer's adult daughter for an entry-level job, which she landed with the city law department. It's also been raised by some people in Nashville, has the gender, the fact that the mayor is a female. Is there a different reaction? A resident wrote to the Tennessean, I wonder if our mayor was a man, if the press coverage would be so gentle. I think there would be pressure for an immediate resignation. So we've had a couple situations like this, right? We've got the Missouri governor, Adam Lindsay, and the story that he had had an affair with what was a hairdresser, I think. But where that one turned different is that when they were having sexual relations, he had taken a picture of her when she was either completely naked or partially and had threatened her. And then that information came out when her ex-husband revealed that. He, like her, like the mayor of Nashville, very popular in Missouri. Where are we on the acceptance, do you think, for public officials, Adam, when the news comes out about an affair? And where then is the line to, okay, it's sex, that's different from doing the job, but if we find, though, within this affair there was violations of the law, it's different, like blackmailing. Or taking naked pictures when there was no agreement, or going on these trips with nobody else but the police officer who she's having the affair with. Where do we think we are at that? And then does this one letter writer, is the letter writer right? Is a female politician treated any different than a male politician when these revelations come to light? You first, Adam. What do you think?
Was the woman treated more favorable than a man? I don't know. This woman's child died, too, so I think there's probably a little sympathy for her in that respect too. And I think this relationship started like not long after her child died, or around that time. Adult son, I think it was.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Drug overdose.
Yep. Where is our acceptance now?
I don't think it's changed much. I really don't. I still think a lot of people view that as a serious character flaw.
Yep.
And that it speaks someone in a position of power like that. It speaks to their character. I mean, that's separate whether, you know, they were spending money, public's money, on taking trips together. I mean, that's one thing.
Right.
I mean, that's obviously wrong. But I don't think it's changed much
so
in how we view it.
Before Lindsay jumps in. So let's say there's no money. Okay, there's no violation of the law, and it happens in our state of a well-known public official. Does that public official last in most circumstances? Or do you think that public official, due to enough pressure, has to either step down or doesn't run for office?
Amy Koch.
Yeah.
How long ago was that? 3 years ago? Four years
maybe
ago?
Maybe a little bit more, but you're right. I mean, she was the Senate Majority Leader, very powerful, very influential. The reports of her affair came out. She eventually goes away, and she's still visible in what she's doing. But, I mean, she was a very powerful official, young in her life, and viewed as someone who could have even more success. So what do you think, Lindsay, on these points?
Well, I think it comes down to the acceptance depends on whether you voted for that person or not. I think we as a country tend to side with our politicians, regardless of their character flaws, if they're someone we voted for. And there has been some, I would say, hypocrisy from people who have voted for more conservative or Christian-minded people who have been caught in affairs and their acceptance of that. But it happens on both sides. I mean, let's be honest.
There's acceptance of that for people who agree with that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What I'm saying. If let's pretend you're, you know, Senate Majority Leader.
Yep.
And I voted for you, and yep, I'm very passionate about your policies and
thank
what
you
stand
I
for.
I appreciate that. Adam, would you be backing me?
No.
Okay. Just wondering.
But
I know
you,
the character.
Well, let's use that as an example. So, Chad, you get busted in a crazy affair, you've been using public funds. Now, I might be upset as your supporter about using the public funds,
yeah,
but because I support your policies,
right,
I'm gonna stand by you. Whereas
sure,
Adam, who didn't vote for you, wants to throw the book at you.
You're right. That's 100% right. We saw that all the time with Frank. But I'm saying so it's better to then say within their support group, okay, within the people who already like you and vote for you. So let's put aside those who oppose right now. Sadly, too many people oppose somebody. They're Satan. They're awful. It's not that you just have philosophical differences. You know, they're demonic. Do you think for a lot of people that they're willing to accept of the supporters affair on its own?
I don't. I think that it is, as Adam said, a lot of people do view infidelity, whether it's in a marriage or in just a relationship, as a character flaw. And I think we see that in kind of the very strong stigma that there still is in this country about talking about infidelity,
yep,
whether it's in your marriage or in your group of friends. And it becomes a very – and as it should, but there's – no one wants to talk about it.
So let me ask this. We know, Adam, you chairman, we know whatever the percentage is, there are affairs out there all the time. Right? And there are various numbers, whether it's 20%, 30%, 40%. I have no idea if they're accurate because who knows how honest people are about this. So it doesn't just happen with politicians. It doesn't just happen with athletes. It doesn't just happen with Hollywood stars. It's everyday people, right? Should you lose a job that you're very effective at, if you believe that person is very effective at that job because you did something which is a violation of the trust that you've built up with your partner?
It depends on the job. If you're a marriage counselor, yes.
No, I'm saying I mean, there's a lot of politics.
Oh, in politics.
So if this person, according to how you view them, that they're doing a good job. So we're not just talking about the opponents, because we know the opponents are just waiting, you know, for them to explode at this point. It's just sad. But if they're a good congressman, mayor, senator, governor, president, whatever, but they basically lied and cheated on, along with their kids, potentially the most important person in their life, but you still feel like they're very good at what they do, should they lose that job?
It depends what their political, I mean, if they're a soup, you know, this, if they raise themselves up to be this family values person that, you know, believe in the everything about the, then that's extremely hypocritical to me.
Yeah.
So if not, then no. I mean, I think it's unfortunate for that person, certainly for their family.
So are we giving Democrats a little more leeway on this than Republicans? Because there are more Republicans who are going to wrap themselves. There have been, let's say this, who knows going forward, but there have been many more Republicans who've tied themselves to the Bible and spirituality, and life was better that way. Because there shouldn't be a double standard in this in any way. It should be treated the same exact way. Politics should be aside, but I totally get what Adam's saying. If you take it even further and you talk about your family, you talk about the character you have in that area, and then it turns out you're just lying, then people are going to say, well, if you're lying about this, Lindsay, what else are you lying about?
Well, I think that's the issue. And I think one of the things, you know, are we putting more pressure on Republicans? Well, to say that because you aren't a religious person, that you don't hold family values, I understand that there is a lot of family values tied to the Bible. But to insinuate that to people who aren't Christians is incredibly insulting. I mean, like, it's
unbelievably insulting.
But it comes down to, what did you do when you were campaigning? Did you flaunt your family in front of crowds? Did you make your wife campaign with you? Were your children involved? Then you're a fraud. And then you're
Let's be honest, most do that. Right?
But that's
both sides of the aisle.
Oh, absolutely. But then it's like, if you're willing to do that to your family and your children, what are you willing to do to the people that you don't live in a house with?
150. You want to chime in through text? You certainly can. 81807. That's your Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to call Lindus for free home improvement estimates on windows, insulation, and leaf guard rain gutters. This is Us. Probably as popular now as it's ever been since they had the episode air after the Super Bowl Sunday. They had another episode there on Tuesday. Spoiler alert coming, so if you don't want to learn some stuff, then the spoiler alert's there. Although, we've known forever, okay, that Jack has died. Okay, that's we've known that for a long time. We also know that one of the episodes back, an older couple gave him a crock pot, and the role the crock pot may or may not have played in a fire. The fact that the company that is behind the crockpot, Adam and Lindsay, has to come out with a statement, and they say, it is important our consumers understand, have confidence that all crockpot slow cookers exceed all internal testing protocols and all applicable industry safety standards. For nearly 50 years and over 100 million crockpots sold, we have never received any consumer complaints similar to the fictional events portrayed. And this is about 10 days ago or so. And I saw it and I was amused. Now, Milo, who plays Jack on This Is Us, and we had this tear-jerking episode Sunday where we found out about Jack's demise, and it was a great episode. It was a tough episode to watch. I'm totally into the show. I really enjoy the show. And I like going through, apparently, like, you know, 12 Kleenex boxes a show. But, Adam, now that Milo has to come on the air and say, I love crock pots. I've got a crock pot. They're great. What is wrong with people? It's a show I really, really like. This doesn't mean, Lindsay, that crock pots are going to be exploding everywhere across America and fires are going to be. Have people lost control and forgot this is a bleeping television show?
I'm hopeful that a lot of the hype is fake. you know, it's fake hype. But I loved this tweet from Dan Fogelman because there are literally articles upon articles.
The brains
after this.
Behind This Is Us.
Yeah. Taking a moment to remind everyone that it was a 20-year-old fictional crockpot with an already funky switch. Let's just not lump all those lovely, hardworking crockpots together. And so this is from Women's Health. They basically went back and looked at the National Fire Protection Association. And the NFPA says that just 5% of house fires started by cooking equipment were caused by portable cooking or warming devices like a slow cooker. So basically, it's an extremely low risk.
Adam, off a very popular television show, the company, the actors, the producers are basically saying, you're watching a show.
Yeah. I don't blame the company, though, for addressing it at all. I mean, you have to.
It's sad, though, that they have to,
right?
Right?
But, and then from the standpoint of the television show, honestly, I think the more people talk about it, the better for him. It doesn't. So.
Oh, and I'm not saying I'm not even hinting that it hurts the show. I just think it's
that's
it's
what I'm saying.
Asinine.
I think they blow it up to be bigger than it really is. I think.
We got to jump. We'll continue because I think they're trying to help out Crockpot to say calm the bleep down. You want to do a tease here?
We'll have news coming up.
Yep.
208 WCCO. You'll have to stay tuned.
Who knows what it'll be?
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.